Well, a God morning to you. And welcome back to the God School. I'm excited to communicate, to attempt to effectually communicate this most wonderful message of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, but it's to the Church of Jesus Christ, to the people who belong to Jesus, to those who are the possession of Jesus. That's the meaning of the word. A quick review. Paul, speaking of Jesus Christ in the first chapter, says, who gave himself for our sins. That's the past sins. That's the sins we're going to commit today. That's the sins we'll commit tomorrow, for all our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. And he did this according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the context of the message is, somehow, some way, by men, this gospel is being perverted. And Paul gives strong admonition, a warning, if you will, to those who pervert the gospel. That they are in danger of being God-damned. Paul tells us that he didn't get this message from man. He wasn't taught it by man, but by Jesus Christ himself. He tells us of the experience at the First Church Council, which we spoke of last week. You can read about it in the 15th chapter of Acts. Paul adds a little bit in that second chapter. And he says, knowing that a man, morphe, man, flesh, is not righteousified by the works of the law, but by the faith, if you will, the amen, the no doubt of Jesus Christ, even we have faith in Jesus Christ, that we might be righteousified by the faith of Christ, not even our faith, the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, righteousified, made righteous. He says in the 20th verse of this second chapter, for he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. and the life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who literally, who is loving me, who is loving us, and gave himself for us. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we could have done it ourselves, no need for Jesus Christ. But God knows what we have need of, and he gave us his Son. Now, Paul gets down to it here in the beginning of the third chapter. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has evil-eyed you? Who has turned your eye, that ye should not obey the truth? I don't want to get into textual criticism or criticisms of translations, but oh my goodness. This word, obey, it's a faith word, folks. It's to be persuaded. It's to have confidence in what? The truth, the reality of this, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. Paul says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? God has given his, that is, the ones he chose for himself before, in Christ Jesus, before the foundations of the world, has given us ears that we might hear, that we might run to the sayer. Hearing, akoue. Did you take hold of this Spirit by the works of the law? He says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? I want to speak for a moment about that. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks this wise, that, and I'm paraphrasing, that you don't put new wine into old wineskins. Lest they burst. That is, having it spilled out and therefore of no use. Hold on to that thought as we go through this. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? This word suffer, the word is pasco, and it means to feel heavy emotion. It's the feeling of the mind, emotion, passion, and I'm sure you can testify with me as we are on this journey of faith. There have been many times of heavy emotion, of passion, of, if you will, conflicts of emotion. Paul's going to go on later to tell us in this same letter that the reason for this feeling of heavy emotion is there's a war going on, that the Spirit warreth against the flesh, and the flesh warreth against the Spirit. Have you gone through all these emotional trials for nothing? Fifth verse says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. Look, the Greek is very simple. It says, who energizes power among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Is the one ministering perfect? I'll tell you right now, if I'm ministering to you, I want to let you know, I am not perfect. Do I have the Spirit? I'm persuaded that I do. But I'm not perfect yet. We're leading up to something, folks. We'll get there. Hang in here with me. Now, Paul is going to go into some scripture, and he's going to speak to us about Abraham. He says, even Abraham, King James says, believed. The word is faithed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. My marginal note would say it was imputed. The word is logisomai, and it has to do with speaking, and what it's saying is God spoke righteousness for Abraham. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would righteousify the heathen, the word in the Greek is ethne, ethnics, from every kindred, tongue, and country. God has some whom he is righteousifying, and he's doing that through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, before the gospel had come, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The word is, the root is eulogitos, we give eulogies, wherein we speak well in thee. Shall all nations be well spoken of? So then they which be of faith are well spoken of with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Not just the Ten Commandments, folks. It's the other 613 that you'll find in the Pentateuch. That is the first five books of the Bible. All of them. All the time, do perfectly. But that no man, Paul continues, is righteousified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. For the, properly translated, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith. We're talking in this letter about life. We're talking about life eternal. We're not talking about a great life down here in the flesh. We started out by saying, gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Those who preach today telling you that the gospel means you're going to have a great life down here. You're not going to be troubled. You're going to overcome all the adversaries. You're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. They're perverting the gospel. Jesus had, and God our Father had, something greater in mind, that is that we might spend eternity with God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's speaking of life here. And he goes on to say, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them, speaking of the law, shall live in them. That's Leviticus 18:5. Anybody who has done all the law perfectly, perpetually, personally, he'll live. Except nobody's done it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is, having fallen short, there's a curse. It says, for the wages of sin, that is hamartia, that is falling short of the performance or perfection of the law, are cursed. The wages of sin is death. But Paul's speaking of life here. Why? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Being made a curse, more literally, over us. Picture this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, picture the guillotine. That blade coming down upon us to cut off our heads. And it says, Christ stepped in and died in our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Can you see the picture? That which was due us, that blade coming down. Christ being made a curse over us. Why did he do this? That the blessings of Abraham, that which is spoken well of Abraham, might come to the ethnics through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. One of the Bibles I use is a facsimile from a 1769 Oxford edition done by Benjamin Blaney and his associates. Which is, if you use a King James Bible today, is the text that you find in every printed King James Bible, not New King James, not all the other various modern translations. But this 1769 modernized, that is, as a result of having a dictionary done in 1755, first English dictionary done by Samuel Johnson. Now, the 1611 King James can be corrected for spelling, for grammar, and for punctuation. But these modernizers, if you will, at that time, had such wonderful knowledge of the scriptures from cover to cover that they included hundreds, if not thousands, of more marginal references than virtually all King James Bibles that have been printed since that time. And The reason I'm saying this is this 14th verse has many, many more marginal references than you find. I think I have a good printing, excuse me, that of a King James Bible that's been with me for decades. Don't know what I'd do without it because of all the notes, personal notes I have in it. But there are several marginal references relating to this verse that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Isaiah 32:15 says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Listen to this. Isaiah 44:1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, that formed thee from the womb, which will help thee, Jesus Christ. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jezreel, that's another name for Jerusalem, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, and I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. But this shall be the covenant, the promise that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. This, these words, inward parts, it means the center of the thoughts of the mind and of the heart. Jeremiah 32, 41 says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear, I hate that use of that word by the translators, I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. God is doing this, and this word fear, yare, it to sons and daughters, you don't walk around fearing and trembling your before your father, but you do with respect and reverence. Have this relationship with your Father. Ezekiel 11, 19th verse says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. 36, Ezekiel 26 verse almost repeats it. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh. and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. This new spirit, this new heart that God gives us, talks about the old heart, stony heart. One that doesn't have feeling, but a new heart. One that can be touched. There are several references. We can go to another 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. 37th verse, it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that faithes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that faith on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Acts 2:33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, speaking of Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:20 One says, well, let's go to 120. It says, for all the promises of God are in him, Jesus, yea, and in him, amen, that is, no doubt. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us. That's God, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, there's where I want to go. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Paul says in this 22nd verse of the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, that we might receive the earnest. Arabon is the word, and it means part payment. Part payment. If we go back and just, we'll take one example of the Apostle Peter. Peter anointed by the Spirit of God to preach on the day of Pentecost, wherein 3,000 are born into the church of Jesus Christ. We read in the Gospels many of his deficiencies. But now he's anointed by the Spirit and preaches and brings 3,000 into the church. But we read in the Acts, I believe it's the 10th chapter, where now, having received the Spirit, Peter argues with God when God would have him go to the Gentiles. Peter says, not me. He had received the Spirit we read in this very epistle that Paul had to withstand him to his face. What are you talking about, Paul? Who's Paul? He's an apostle, not by man, neither of man, but by God and Jesus Christ. Paul had to withstand him for his face, for he was blameworthy. Wait a minute. He had the Spirit of God. Many would have you believe that having the Spirit, they're now perfect. In God's eyes, yes. But as long as one is walking in shoe leather, that is, has flesh on his blood and his bones, he's still in the flesh and he ain't perfect. Like I ain't perfect. Like you ain't perfect. You might have the Spirit. I know some of you do. But the work of God and the work of Jesus Christ is being done in you, but we're not there yet. Paul will say to the Philippians, speaking of the flesh, he says, God will change our vile bodies. Let me give the quote, many mistakes. Who, speaking of God, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he, that is God, is able to subdue all things to himself. I thank God, and we all should thank God who have received his Spirit by promise. And what is faith? Faith is acting on the promises of God. I think we're going to pick this message up again next week. And my hope and my prayer for all of you that through the Spirit you have the understanding that this is a daily walk by faith, and that you be not bewitched by somehow thinking, having the Spirit, that you're now made perfect in the flesh. That's a lie born in hell. That's a lie which perverts the gospel. And those who preach it are perverts. But we be children of Abraham by faith. do. Receive the Spirit of God by faith. Part payment, folks. Part payment. But the word has the meaning, like in a contract for real estate, you make an earnest money payment, which basically the contract says, we're giving you this deposit, part payment, and the full payment is going to be made of the same kind as the part payment. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be when we all see Jesus and be found like him. For the righteous shall live by faith. And that's the God School for today.